So, this passage is a tough passage. This is a passage that even like Bible scholars who love the Bible are like, well, I don't know about all that. There's crazy stuff happening here. People are taking Paul's sweat rags back home to their families and going, this could help? We see a family of exorcists get beat up by a demon. It's a wild, wild portion of scripture. Let me just say this to us as we begin. This is the part of Christianity that some people are like, I can't go into that room. For some people who are more thoughtful, reflective, logical, they appreciate the philosophical tenets of Christianity. I know, man, I'm sorry. There are people in the world who think the ideas of Christianity are good ideas, and I like those ideas. There are some who love the moral code of Jesus. Jesus tells us how to be a good person, and his teachings on morality, good and evil, I dig that. But Christianity is more than an idea, and it's more than a moral code. Christianity claims that the God of heaven and earth gets involved with his creation. There are some who believe that God Almighty, maybe he built the world like a watchmaker builds a watch. And God turned, he developed all these laws to govern reality, gravity, and all these things. And he just turns it on and he just backs away and lets the earth tick. And his laws bring reality forward. And the God of heaven and earth, the God who made all this stuff, just kind of went on vacation and left us all here. Christians don't believe that. Christians don't believe that Jesus, that God Almighty, built the watch and left. We believe he made it all, and he still gets involved with his people. He puts his hands in the soup. This is a story about God Almighty getting his hands into the soup. As Christians, we believe in a supernatural aspect of Christianity. A lot of us, if we were honest, wonder about stuff like this in the Bible. For example, demons. We live in America. I remember as a boy, I watched a movie called The Exorcist. And it scared me badly as a child. Most of them have seen anything like that up close. And we wonder, is that real? Does it happen? When I moved to India with my wife, I remember we'd have these outdoor preaching sessions in the jungle. People would come up afterwards and ask for prayer. People would pray for job or school or sickness. But I remember one day, very early on in the ministry in India, someone came and said, "Brother, we have a person who has an evil spirit. Can you pray over them?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" Listen, I was like, "Well, here we go." And they brought someone to me. And the person did not have an evil spirit. The person had a birth defect. And it introduced a doubt in my mind. I wondered, these are people who are uneducated. Maybe they don't know the difference between. They can't explain why someone is different. So they attribute it to a spiritual oppression, a spiritual possession. And I wondered, in the Bible, that would happen then? Are people just ignorant? So over like 3 or 4 meetings, they say, "Pastor, we have an evil spirit. Would you pray?" And I'm like, "Sure." And every time, it's not an evil spirit. It's not an evil spirit. It's not. And I start wondering, is any of this stuff true? Then one day, Angie was not with me that day. I think she was sick, because in India, you get sick. The food is tough. The water's tough. I'm there alone in a jungle. We're praying, and they say, "Brother, we have a woman with evil spirit who we want you to pray over her." I'm like, "Okay." And they bring this woman forward. And it wasn't a mental illness. And it was not a birth defect. It wasn't autism. There was something in this woman that was not of this earth. And I have never been more afraid. And I realized the stories are true. There are things in the world that are evil and dark. And when I first saw one in the flesh, all confidence left me. We find ourselves in Ephesus, Acts 19. This city in the ancient world was once a great city. Like Flint, this city was once the place to go. A bustling harbor, trade coming through, but their harbor filled with silt and mud and became unpassable, and so their greatest economic strength fell. Paul has come to this city. He's been there for a few years. And it says this in verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So the cloths or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits went out. We'll start here. First thing I want to say is this. God has power over sickness and evil spirits in this world. We believe this. Now, let me say some things. To begin, Luke, the writer of this book, makes it a point to say, God did these miracles. And God was doing the miracles, not Paul. And Luke says these miracles are extraordinary. The word in the Greek is like, and God was doing unseen miracles, things that weren't natural. Paul had been in many cities, Corinth, Galatia, and this had never happened before. Everyone's like, this is wild what's happening here in Ephesus. Miracles happen like crazy. My point is to say this. God has built laws that govern the universe. Sicknesses do kill. Falling from high places into the ground can take our life. These are natural laws that govern the world. And for the most part, those laws govern. But God Almighty can intervene. We are allowed to ask Him to intervene. We're allowed to ask God, God, I have been told this cancer is going to take me out. God, I beg you, give me more life. We are allowed to ask for this. And God Almighty, He is allowed to break His own rules. He can reach in. I don't know what He does with the cancer, but it can be gone. But I want to say this to you, and this is a hard thing to say out loud, but I'm going to say it. That's not a guarantee, it's not a promise, and I would dare say it's not the norm. God made a good world, but this world is broken. Sin broke the world. Creation has a cancer. Our eyes can fail. Our ears can fail. Our body can stop working. These things are part of being a person in a broken world. Things don't always work right. We are allowed to pray for healing, and we should. The Bible says, is any among you sick? Call upon the elders of the church to lay hands on you and pray. If you're sick, listen, part of the pastor's jobs of our church is to lay hands on you and pray. And we have seen God move. There was a lady in our church who was barren. couldn't have children, and her husband just begged God for babies. It just wasn't happening. Every month they go through that awful, are we pregnant? They're taking all the things and the vitamins, and they're doing the medical things. So they came to the pastor of the church and said, we just want a child, you pray. And so we laid hands on this couple, and it was a very powerful time. The Spirit fell upon that moment. We're all just crying and praying and begging God to give this family a child. A few months later, they came back and said, we're pregnant. They were very scared because they had gotten pregnant before, but they always had miscarriages. So they came back after a few months, like, the baby's still. And they came back again. They go, we just went to the thing, and it's not just one baby. It's three babies. And we're just like, maybe we prayed a little too hard, you know, maybe. But those three kids still are good friends. We love those kids. Me and my, we love those kids. We watch them grow up, and we're just like, the Lord gave you as a gift to your family. We're allowed to ask God that stuff, and he can move. He can heal. I remember one day, where's Jesus' face? Is he here? I remember one day, we were out on South Manitou Island, and Jesus and his buddy were just running on these trails, being crazy. And Jesus' friend got overheated and dehydrated. In the night, he's vomiting, he's shaking, he can't keep water down. We have been dropped off by a boat on an island. I don't know what to do. I am so scared. This kid is losing water, and I don't know how to help him. So I walk down the trail. There's other people that I dropped off on the boat. There's a group of Christians down the way. So I go down there, and I'm like, any of you guys, I don't know what to do. Any of you guys know anything about anything? This kid is sick. He's like fevered out of his mind. He's dehydrated. I don't know what to do. There's no boat for 2 days. I don't know what to do. These two old men, we don't know much about much. We can pray. So they get up. These old men come to the tent. They lay their hands on this boy and pray. And I tell you the truth, the fever left him. It freaked me out. It was a supernatural moment where God showed up and just was like, you're okay. And they were like, praise the Lord. And they left. And I was like, take me with you. Show me the way. God has power. Now, in this story, people were taking Paul's stuff. It's like that lady who had the issue of blood in the Gospels. There's a lady who says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she goes to the crowd and touches the hem of the garment, and she is healed. The Lord is kind to her. That does not mean if you can find Jesus' like chonies, you'll be healed from all sickness. It means God was so kind, he accommodated to her understanding. She didn't know why Christ was said, this man has power from God, and he's from God, and I trust him. And she went, and God honored that faith of hers. If some dude on TV tries to sell you his dirty hankies, don't buy them. I'm serious. If someone goes and tells you they have authority over sickness, don't you believe them. Paul doesn't claim it. Luke goes, it ain't Paul, it's God. God through Paul is doing these works. If someone's saying, I have power from God, I can name it and claim it, that's a dangerous person, and they're probably going to rob you. Paul wasn't selling nothing. He was getting robbed, man. Paul is a tent maker. He wears a smock to work with leather. He probably come into work, where's my smock? Got stolen again, Paul. Man, someone stole it again. People just want to be near the man of God. They're going to come and take in his stuff. Where's my sweat rag? Stole that too. Like, it's like, ah! But people want to be near the man of God, and God is accommodating to their thoughts. It's not meant to say, do these things. You can't go and like dig up Billy Graham and take his suit tie and be like, the power of God in a tie. Doesn't work that way. God does have power over sickness and over evil spirits in this world. He does. Don't abuse it. And be careful of those who try to buck off it. And listen, those guys exist even back here. So Paul has unbelievable success in ministry. And it says this. Now, there were some Jewish exorcists who went from place to place. They attempted to invoke over those who are evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I implore you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. You understand something? Ephesus is a very magical city. Very occult. So much so, in the ancient world, there's this phrase, Ephesian grammata, Ephesian letters. So in the ancient world, they called magical books letters from Ephesus. That's how well known this city is for magic. And magicians in this pagan world, they believe spells had their power from two things. Their secrecy and knowing what names to invoke and how. They believed that the name had power. If they knew the right name and the right words, they could have authority over other things. They basically see Paul having success. They go, man, what's Paul doing? Let's just copy what he's doing. And we're told there's seven sons of one named Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, and they're doing this very thing. So you have like a family business, seven brothers, Sceva and sons. We ain't afraid of no demons. Like, they have a business. They go around making money. They go around doing something. And they're like, we heard there's this new strategy. Let's just do what he did. They come into a place. There's a demon in this guy. They go, hey, in the name of Jesus, who Paul talks about, we cast you out. And this thing says, I recognize Jesus, and I know about Paul, but who are you? I have nightmares about this moment. The reason I was afraid in the jungles of India is because of this passage. In my whole imagination, I don't know why, whenever I envision this moment, the demon always cusses at them. I don't know why. That's how I hear what he says. Who do you think you are? And it jumps on the seven brothers and beats them all up. It says they all run out of the house like beaten and naked. I have been in a few good brawls in my life. One of those brawls was real bad. And when it was over, my clothes were ripped. Dude, I'm all tore up. You have to be in a heck of a fight to have your clothes ripped off, dude. These guys, 7-1, pretty good odds, tore up by this thing. Hey, this truth. You cannot have the power of God without the person of God. You cannot have the power of God without the person of God. Throughout history, people look to magic to find strength. I mean, it's no secret that in World War II, Hitler tried to find Christian artifacts. He thought, if I could find God's stuff, it'll give me power. That's why I love the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark so much, Indiana Jones. They find the ark. We're going to use this against the Allies. And it's like, no, you ain't. It's awesome. It's great. You can't just like use God's stuff. It's not a spell to be uttered. It's not a thing to be found. God's power cannot be accessed apart from God. And a lot of us want this. We want God's power. We want his blessing. We want his peace, but we don't want him. One day on a Sunday morning, a lady came to me at the front of the church and she told me, Pastor, I know her. I knew her husband. It's like, I'm going to meet a man and I'm going to cheat on my husband. Will you please say a blessing over me as I leave? And I was like, I had the same, I was like, huh? What? See, I'm going to sin. Please ask God to forgive me. I'm like, no. She wants the blessing of God. She wants God to be with her, but she wants to do what she wants to do. That's not how it plays. You can't get his stuff without him. And as Americans, all people, we all want this. We want the prize, but not the cost. We want sex, but no commitment. We want to be healthy, and we want McDonald's. You can't have both things. You can't have the power of God without God. You can't buy a cross and touch it, and it's going to give you some magical power to, like, make your drive less dangerous. If you're not with him, you don't get his blessings. These exorcists these exorcists in Ephesus, that's a heck of a thing to say out loud. These exorcists in Ephesus thought, we'll say the name and we'll have authority. And the demon's like, I know Jesus. I submit to the Christ. And Paul, his servant, who the crap are you? When that demon came before me in India, I just didn't know. I'd never seen it. I wasn't ready. And I thought, this thing's going to beat my face in. I remember I told my Indian brother, that woman has an evil spirit. They're like, we know, brother. I'm like, but a real one. He's like, we know. And I was like, I cannot face this. And I remember I backed away into the crowd and I left. I learned later, I asked some of the pastors in India to walk with me so I could see them engage these dark forces. And I'd watch them and they'd go and engage. I learned to understand that it's not about me and my faith, but it's about the Lord God and his power over them. There's a family at the church in India that I want to go this year back to India. We're trying to find a good time to go. There's a family in a church in India, and they've been there now for, man, it's been like 20 years. But years ago, they brought a child, and their child had an evil spirit. And this kid's a Hindu family, and the kid was just, this thing was killing the boy. Self-harm, self-mutilation, just unreal. It's a young 7-year-old child. I remember they came to the house and they said, we need all the pastors and all the villages to come. Because Jesus said there's some that are so powerful, they only come out through prayer and fasting. So all these pastors come together in this church. And for hours, we're praying and asking for God's intervention. Hours. And I just remember watching just how they engage. And none of them were like, I'm awesome. They never said, my name is Nesto. I command you. It don't care that I'm Nesto. They came in the power in the name of Christ. And they cast that thing out of that boy. And that Hindu family became believers in Christ. They still go to our church to this day. That boy now is a man. And when he gets married, don't invite me to the wedding. And I'll be like, I can't come because it's far away. You can't have the power of God without the person of God. For us, it's not superstition, it's relationship. And if you have the relationship, you understand that I'm not trying to be with the Lord to get his stuff. I'm with the Lord because I love him. Imagine, if you will, if you're in a love relationship, and the only time you're kind to your spouse is when you want something from them. How old would that get and how fast would it get old? You don't love me. You just want the things I have that you desire. It's not about me, it's about the stuff you want. We go to the Lord. What does Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can't have the power of God without the person of God. And lastly, This is crazy. They all fled out naked and wounded. And this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks who lived in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Listen, what's crazy is the thing that sparks revival isn't the Paul, isn't God doing miracles through Paul. What ends up bringing everyone to the church is these sexes getting beat up. That story is a fun story to tell. Can you imagine? I mean, the father is a rich man in town. It's like, man, you hear what happened to that guy's kids? They got beat up by a demon. And it'd be a fun story. It's just next door neighbor if I tell the story 100 times. Like, people are telling the story and start to go, oh, man, the name of Jesus is powerful. They start coming to the apostles, coming to the church. It says, and many of those who believed, they kept coming, confessing, disclosing their practices. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and were burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord is growing mightily and prevailing. People who were looking to magic to find power, to find authority, they started repenting of what they were doing, and some people had spent lots of money acquiring a library of spells. Remember, spells were made powerful by their rarity and the names they spoke. We have some of these Ephesian grammatas to this day. We have some of the spells in libraries around the world. People were coming, bringing their spell books, going, we turn to Jesus. We don't need to go to false gods anymore. They were burning these books. They count up how much those books cost. 50,000 pieces of silver. A piece of silver is like a day's work. 50,000 days of work. That's a lot. That's a lot of cheese money. 365 days in a year. That's a lot of money. 5,300. 15 years of work? It's burn up. I'm bad at math. Tell this to us real quick. Believing in Jesus means turning away from occult powers. Listen. I always thought America was going to turn towards like atheism. We're going to be like Europe, you know, post-enlightenment, post-Christian, secular humanist. The only things that are real are energy and matter. And America juked me out because Americans are spiritual people. They don't want a world with no God and no spirit, no truth. And so in the last 15 years, there's been a rise of pagan practice in America. Among Gen Z, 51% of Gen Z have gone to see a tarot card reader. How crazy is that? That's a normal part of that. They think, what I want to find truth, I want to find the divine. I'll go to a psychic, I'll go to tarot cards, I'll get crystals. As Americans, we're open to spiritual things. In Europe, like the cult of Thor is like starting up again. People are worshiping and praying to Odin and the son of and the god of thunder. And they're not doing it ironically, they're doing it like devoutly. If you're here and you are walking towards Jesus, or you are a believer and you are flirting with dark power, repent. Stop. Get it out of your house. Destroy it. Walk away from it. Ouija boards, tarot cards, psychics. We, as far as Christ, we don't go flirting with darkness. 99 out of 100 of those things are fake nonsense. You do not want to knock on the one correct door. You don't want to find that thing. C.S. Lewis wisely once said, he said, there are two equal and opposite errors Christians fall into when it comes to the spiritual realm. The first is not to believe in it. That was me. I wondered if it was true. The second is to have an unhealthy interest in it. Equal and opposite errors. So, as Christians, we believe in a God who puts his hands in the mud. God gets involved. Thanks be to God. I need God involved in my life. I want him to intervene. I want him to lead my steps. Just the other day, dude, God is so awesome. Little baby miracles all the time. I was at home napping. I wanted to nap on the couch on a Monday. It's my day of rest and worship. I'm on the couch. Dogs laying on me. I'm comfy. I'm ready to nap. Well. And I just feel this prompt. You can't go to sleep. I'm like, Lord, your servant's so tired. And so I get up and I'm like, okay, I'm up. What do you want from me? I'm just sitting there. Nothing. Just sitting there. Just. I'm like, I guess I'll do something. So I get in the car, driving around town. And I'm like, well, I really want to go buy this thing over here. So I go to the store to go buy something. I walk in. And in walks a brother in Christ I've been longing to see for months. And there's like a reunion in this store. We hug. We're just like, I remember leaving the store going, okay, Lord, thank you for giving me this little tiny thing that I've been asking for weeks, for months. The Lord is real, and the Lord does move, and the Lord does guide. The power of God is real, but you can't touch that power without being with him. So as we land this plane, let me just say, if any of you here are sick and you ever want prayer, just call and ask. We come up here, the pastor will lay their hands on you, and we'll take some time to pray and ask God to be with you and to heal you. We don't guarantee anything, but we are allowed to ask. Two, if you're messing with darkness, throw it away. And if you ever face darkness, you don't have to be afraid. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. With that said, let us pray. Father in heaven, you are God Almighty. You have all authority on heaven and earth. There is no God like you. Lord Jesus, you came down here and you bled and died that any who believe upon your name would be redeemed, would be saved, would be adopted into the family of God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying that we may live. And Holy Spirit, you make your home in the hearts of all who believe in you, O Lord. Thank you for indwelling us. Thank you for bringing that power to live within us that guides us into all truth, convicts us of sin, and protects us from evils of this world. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Be blessed as you go. There's budgets at both doors. Grab one. Ask questions. God bless you.